There's nothing that strikes more fear in the heart of a New England driver than the words ice storm. But this pernicious wintry precipitation is not just trouble for cars, but for forests, too, where a thick coating of ice can break limbs and even whole trees. NHBR's Sam Evans-Brown reports a team of researchers is, for the first time, creating simulated ice storms to study not just the damage these storms can do, but also how that could change our forests.
In nature, ice storms happen when it's warm at high altitudes but cold down near the ground. If the layer of cold air is too thin, the water that lands is just cold rain. If it's too thick, it becomes sleet and then snow. But at the Hubbard Brook Experimental Research Forest in the White Mountains, ice storms happen when you take a 20-minute snow machine ride up a forest road, where you'll find a team of more than a dozen scientists from all over the Northeast with generators, pumps, and fire hoses. The hoses are mounted on ATVs and are run at super high pressure so that the water sprays as a fine mist all over the trees in a square of forest about the size of a basketball court. Paul Schauberg with the National Forest Service explains there's a lot of data to be collected.
In the forest, there are these orange buckets, like you see there and there, and those help us monitor how much water we're putting into the canopy. So they're just a point sample of throughfall. And then there are these baskets that look like laundry baskets, and those are to capture debris that falls down, in addition to we'll be doing a much broader assessment in case the whole tops of trees come out or something.
You say they look like laundry baskets. I think they actually are.
They are actually. Yes, they are. Science!
As you're imagining these scientists spraying trees in the woods way up in the White Mountains, remember, it's freezing cold. The day I visited, the temperature was in the teens, but other times, the spraying was done when it was in the single digits in the middle of the night.
It's fun for about 20 minutes, and then you're like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore.
Chris Hansen, a research technician at the University of Vermont, mans one of the hoses. He's wearing marine-grade foul weather gear on top of his winter clothing, and he's coated with a thin layer of ice.
Previous times I did this, I was always on the side where the wind was blowing into your face, so you got pretty soaked. despite the ice that's on my face right now, this was actually really, really quite easy.
This day, they only spray a half an inch of ice on the trees. One night, they sprayed 3/4 of an inch, which took 5 hours. And they do this at 8 different plots in the forest. But while the spraying might be the most complicated logistically, it's just a tiny part of the science. Underneath the trees, there are tiny sensors dug into the ground to monitor soil temperature and moisture. Lindsay Rustad, another Forest Service researcher and the lead scientist on this project, says in the seasons to come, the team will measure what broke off the plants during their fake ice storms.
We'll be measuring the diameter, the length, the weight. We will know to the gram just about what came down from this. And because we know exactly what was there before, we'll know what came down in the ice storm.
Rustad says researchers will study these forest plots as well as following up on plots that were studied after the 1998 ice storm.
This is plot 3. So this
nothing's been published yet, but she has some ideas of what they might find.
But one thing, look at the canopy. So one of the things we're looking at next summer is going to be a lot more light coming down here. And that means the soils are going to be a lot hotter, and they're going to be a lot drier.
But these ice storms don't just affect forests. The most expensive power outage in New Hampshire's history was the 2008 ice storm, and it cost more than twice as much as the next most damaging storm to restore power to the state. So another part of this research is modeling how often these storms are likely to occur going forward.
If I had to guess right now, I would guess that we're still going to see ice storms in the future, but I think that our ice storms are going to be changing in terms of what time of year they occur and maybe even where they occur.
Catherine Hayhoe is a climate scientist at Texas Tech University. She's doing the modeling work to try to determine how climate change will affect the occurrence of these storms. Right now, there's this ice storm belt that stretches from northern Texas all the way up into New England and Canada, where ice storms are more common.
So it's this huge band, and it's true that at the very southernmost part of this band, we're probably going to see less ice storms because it's simply going to be warmer. And at the northernmost end of the band, we might end up seeing more ice storms.
But that, at this point, is all conjecture. Hayhoe says it will take her 2 years to finish the modeling.
Turn it off!
up here in New Hampshire, the icing is done for this year. The researchers scrape the windshields of the ATVs and huddle up in a warming tent to get the feeling back in their fingers. It'll take months and years to fully analyze all of the data, but as a preview, Rustad says she noticed clear tipping points as the ice accumulated.
Where all of a sudden, you know, the branches, big branches start kaboom, 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 crashing down.
And the first of those tipping points, 0.4 inches of ice, is below the half-inch level that the National Weather Service uses for issuing an ice storm warning. That's a criteria that Rustad thinks maybe should get revisited. For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.